him.
Glad you did.
What a good looking bank.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, well,
you look better than you did last time.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, hang on, what you want to
do? No.
Some of you guys I don't recognise either. Is this David?
That's me.
It's your beard looking so much.
Wow. Thank you.
Lizzie and Marlene. Gosh. Better not. If I start naming people, I have an angry blank of insult.
Oh my God.
All right. Welcome to the annual conference for 2018. I'm excited, and I hear you guys are too. Just so I can find out who is excited. No, you're not excited. Can I hear that again? Who's excited? Oh, absolutely awesome. So we have an awesome weekend planned for you, and there's going to be lots of speaking, listening, bonding, sharing, all sorts of ing words that I can't even think of all of the ings right now. So buckle yourself in, and we are going to take off and have an awesome weekend. And I've just got a little session where I'm sort of going to fill you in on all the details, and some of the details I don't even know, and then we'll get underway. So, Kathy, the toilets, bathrooms, whatever you want to call them, are that way. So if you need to do a little wee walk, it's that way. Oh, not just behind the hedge.
It's too late.
That's the boys.
Too late.
Doing what comes naturally. Because I think there are bathrooms, toilets, loos out that way as well. I believe that if the place catches on fire, there is going to be a siren-y kind of sound, and someone will come bursting in and lead us out into the covered area out there. So we don't need to worry too much, but I needed to tell you guys that's what's going to happen, just in case it happens. We all know. Mobile phones, it would be a really good idea if we all remember to put them on silent, or you know what? Even turn them off. That would be a cool idea, wouldn't it? I'm going to do that right now. How do I do that? Is there any other things that you need to know? Now, you know, most of you, I guess, are booked in for the dinner this evening, or you guys all would be. Some of you have got partners who are coming to the dinner as well. And of course, tonight we've got the presentation for the SPOTY and the ON-SPOTY, which are acronyms for the Spending Planner of the Year and the Outstanding New Spending Planner of the Year. So this time tomorrow morning, there'll be two trophies on a table, and there'll be some people who feel very pleased with themselves for having received that award. I don't think there's anything else we need to do other than you've all seen where morning tea was out there. That's where morning tea will be, lunch, all that sort of stuff. All will be revealed as we get underway. So, did you know that in 1990, the population of Australia was 7 million less than it is now? In 1990, the population of Australia was 17 million, and it's now 24 million. Did I say 17 or 7?
17.
There are 7 million more people in Australia now than there were in 1990. Now, why would I pick 1990? I mean, it's an interesting year. It was a good year, I think, for some of us. Some of the younger ones weren't even around. But 1990 was a watershed year for me. And so I picked that year because I thought, okay, well, let's do some looking. So there are 7 million more people now than in 1990. 1990, I had been a school teacher for 8 years. And the deal was that I would actually get a pay rise for the first 10 years of my teaching career. And after 10 years, if you wanted a pay rise, you basically had to start trying to climb the ladder of promotions and extra study and stuff. And I, whilst I loved the thought of teaching people, 14-year-olds really didn't want to be there, and I realised I preferred to teach people that wanted to learn, not people that didn't want to learn. So I realised I had about 2 more pay rises to go, and then my finances were not going to improve. But the odd thing was that every year I had a pay rise, my finances hadn't improved. And January was pay rise month, but February I'm looking forward to next January. I'm thinking the next pay rise might be the one that will make the difference. And I was pretty frustrated. And our family had grown, we'd built a bigger house, we had dirt, we had no gardens, it was just a beautiful big house and nothing around it. And I'm struggling with 18% interest rates and mortgages and one income and 3 little kids. And I'm thinking, this isn't what I signed up for. And I know that most people at that stage in their life go through that same point where, you know, you get married, you have kids, your income goes down because someone's got to look after the kids, your commitments are going up, you need more bedrooms, you need a bigger car, you need more stuff, and life really starts to close in around you. And that was the point where I'm sitting up late at night chewing my fingernails and thinking, this isn't what I signed up for, what can I do? Because I'd recognise that every time I got a pay rise, I got a cost rise. It just seemed to magically happen. And it was interesting, this morning I was talking with the lady that was helping do the setup, and she's aware that her hours are going to be cut here because normally she'll work 60 hours and she's casual, so after 38 hours she goes on time and a half and double time. The resort have decided, well, that's dumb, we should employ more people as casual and don't let anybody work more than 38 hours. And so she's feeling, well, she knows she's going to be feeling the pinch, and she was starting to ask me all these questions about money. And I said, well, you know, every time you earn more money, your life doesn't improve. And she said, oh yeah, tell me about it. And we were discussing this very thing. Have you guys noticed it doesn't matter how much you earn, it doesn't seem to get better? And if I could wave the magic wand and increase your income right now, every one of you knows that it would feel great for a little while, but then it wouldn't feel great after that little while, because it's like it would just adjust itself. So I'm sitting up late at night stressing about mortgages and bills and how we're going to do this. And every month I got a bank statement. Now, this was before internet, was before, you know, the app things on your phone and all of that that basically tell you where you're at. Once a month, here was a history lesson and this is where you're at. And I used to stare at that thing and go, this is just frustrating. And I know a lot of you have heard me talk about this, but those of you that haven't, you really need to pay attention, because this is the whole crux of what you guys do, and it's probably part of your sales pitch. In that I could see that, okay, that's what I did last month, I can't change that. At the bottom it would say closing balance, and I would just stare at that number and just feel like crying. Because I wanted to know, are we screwed right now? Have we got some spare money right now? Are we okay, but not either good or bad? And a bank statement does not tell you that. And so as the 90s moved forward and I'm frustrated and I'm sitting up late at night, can't sleep worrying about money, I started scratching my head a little bit harder and I made a decision. I am going to find a solution to this problem. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I was just, my dad had given me a computer that was a hand-me-down. It was called a 286 for those computer buffs in the room. You had to put these 2 floppy disks in, and then amazing technology.
Floppy disks were they?
Anyhow, I found this program that was in there, and I was mucking around and experimenting, and I stumbled on this idea. And this was about, you know, like 1990, I sort of got the motivation, but we're sort of getting towards the mid-90s, I'd started to develop this system. And I had this aha moment one night where the pennies fell into place and I realised that that number on the bottom of my bank statement was not the number that really mattered to me. It was an important number, but the number that I was missing that was causing all my frustration was the one that said, yes, you've got some spare money, or no, you don't have any spare money, don't go shopping, or yes, you can. This is where you need to be, because knowing where I was just frustrating the heck out of me. And in that instant, I thought to myself, I can't keep this to myself. I have to share this. And so friends, work colleagues, people from my church, anybody that I knew that would listen, I started saying, hey, I found this amazing thing that will change your finances. I got so excited, and the people that I was showing it to were going, wow, can you do that for me? And I decided, you know, over the years I'd tried so many different things to earn extra money to make the bills get paid, from a backyard mechanic to a backyard carpenter and making kids' furniture, and you name it, I tried it. And here all of a sudden was something that I could see that no one had ever done before, and it felt so good. I was getting goosebumps from sitting in people's homes and changing their life and having them go, oh wow, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We can actually see a way through. And all of this mess that we're in, this it's going to go away. And I had one lady say to me, I haven't slept a night in 2 years. And a week later she rang me up and said, I slept through last night. That's the kind of difference it made for people. And so I was just getting addicted to this, the goosebumps and the warm fuzzy feelings and the pats on the back and the people telling me, wow, this has changed my life. And I decided, you know what? I've got this vision for this. Before I die, we're going to change the planet with this. I don't know how it's going to happen, but we're going to change the world. And, you know, some of you know a bit about the story. I stopped trying to do budgets for people because I realised I couldn't change the world on my own. I got someone to write some professional software instead of my dodgy old spreadsheets. And then I got on a current affair and everything just went crazy for a few years because I couldn't stop answering the phone. But I could see that there was a problem with selling software. Some people got it, and other people were just scratching their head because it was so different to what they thought a budget was. And they're using my software and trying to make it into the budget that they thought it would be, when in fact it was something totally different. And I realised that it really needed somebody to coach them through the process so that they understood what it was about, and then to hold their hand for a while to make sure that they stuck to the plan. Because I can't tell you how many people would ring me up and say, I got your software, it changed my life, we paid all our bills, everything was so great, we stopped using it. And now 3 years later, we're back in the hole and I really need some help, can you help me? And so a couple of years ago, I got a mentor with the local Chamber of Commerce, and he was sort of asking me all these questions about my business and, you know, what I'd done and what the journey looked like. And he said to me, so have you decided to let other people be part of this? And I said, I don't really know if anybody else would be any good at it. And he said, really? He said, what makes you think that somebody else couldn't actually even do it better than you? And at that moment, I felt like he had just slapped me around the face because I had been so dumb to think that somebody couldn't possibly be better than me, you know. Here was me worrying about somebody might fail and hadn't even thought about the possibility that there could be people out there who could be so good at it that I would look stupid. And then he asked me the next question, which just absolutely floored me. He said, and how many people have missed out because you've kept this to yourself and you haven't shared this? And I started thinking, gee, if we had an army of people around Australia, around the world, who all had 100 customers or more, that's a lot of people's lives we could change. How stupid have I been? And that was 2015, and everything changed. And some of you will have been on my mailing list and saw the first email that came out that said, hey, I'm changing direction, who wants to be a spending planner? And I know Carolyn over here, and I'm going to embarrass myself now because I've lost your name.
Brad.
Brad. And no, Lance, you weren't one of the first ones. No. Sorry. But I had a few people put their hand up, and gradually this spending planner thing grew and we started the institute. And I'm looking around the room now and there's 30 people here. And next year there's likely to be 100. I don't know where it's going, but I do know, because I've spoken with every one of you guys, and I'm excited because this idea, this thing that I invented is in really good hands. And I know that there are people here who want to walk away from this weekend so excited and so pumped up that this year is going to be such a big year for them And so we've put together this program for this weekend where I have tried to think of everything that I can give you that will boost you into 2018 like you won't even recognise yourself this time next year. That's my vision, my goal for this weekend. So, I think what we might do next is invite some people to come down the front. Crystal. Let's get started. I don't know if we need microphones, but I've always had to just make sure that we can hear it.
Sleep's nice, like seriously. Yeah, one thing. Just awesome.
So, right. So what happened? What, like, obviously there was a turning point.
Because I used to work with Carolyn, and there was just, you know, like, she sort of became almost like a bit of a substitute mother.
I can't believe that.
So, and I was just in tears all the time at work. Like, it was so stressful. My life was, it was just stressful. Couldn't do anything, couldn't pay. So, and she said, look, there's this really awesome thing I'm starting to do. I want to come over, I want to try to help you out. Let me try to help you. And that's pretty much the turning point.
So you let her in?
So, yes.
That was taking a big risk, wasn't it?
Well, it was because she was my friend, and it's really hard, I suppose, to let strangers aren't so bad, but it's hard because you feel like a failure.
Yeah, and actually that's an interesting point, isn't it? Because how many of you had difficulty approaching friends and family to talk about money? Because, what?
It's one of the most, other than sex, I suppose, it's one of the most personal things you will have in your life.
We don't talk about sex, we joke about it.
Yeah. But I mean, it is. It's the second most personal thing in your life. You don't want your friend next to you to know that you can't afford to go to dinner with them, or, you know, that you're struggling to put shoes on your kids' feet. Like, that's embarrassing. But if you just hide under your rock for the rest of your life, it's going to be embarrassing for the rest of your life. Like, you know, and it's, I think, for me, it took Carolyn to basically say to me, we're doing this, so let me help you. And we're like, okay, all right. And I think men can be the hardest. Yeah.
So you got told it was happening.
Yeah, well, I have to agree, but I basically was like, yes, just give it to me. I need something. I'll try anything at this point. We almost went down to my money, my budget route, but I worked in a school and I watched somebody else go down that route, and that was like, no. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. They had to beg for their own money.
So did you actually go to them, or you just sort of...
We rung them, and they kept ringing us back, and then Carolyn said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Let me help you. Like, yeah, help me. I need help.
So Carolyn came around, mm-hmm. and she helped.
She did.
What did she do?
Oh, well, there was a few appointments because we had to get, obviously, everything together. But she just sat down and said, okay, let's just have open, honest conversation. Like, this needs to go two ways. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to help you. I really want to help you with your finances. But you need to be completely honest and open with me. We need everything laid on the table. We're going to put into your budget everything, including your birthday presents for your children, so we know where we are. So I think that was the most terrifying thing, to actually see everything down on paper. And I must admit, like, throughout the course, there's been times where I've tried to hide my head in the sand. I've just been like, this is not working for me. It's just not working at the moment. We're not earning enough money, or we're not this. And she's like, right, okay, well, yeah, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to cut off your foxtail. You need to do this. You need to do that. Let's bring...
Foxtail?
Yeah.
Why did you have that?
Well, my husband likes sports, but needless to say, he hasn't had it in a while.
Sorry.
I was joking.
Oh, I don't think that bad. I think that same
thought went through my head. Sports,
Foxtail
TV.
Nobody knows you after you leave.
So I think that was the most important thing. It was just open, honest conversation. And I think I felt a sense of security with her. You know, I knew it wasn't going to go out to the world. You know, she wasn't going to go and spread out all finances.
Hey, everybody, crystal bro!
Exactly, yeah, to the world. So, I mean, yeah, that's what we did. We basically sat down, and then I think since Zoom, things like that. And it keeps me accountable as well. Like, you know, we came out of our 6 month period and said, but no, I still need you. So, and she's like, oh, that's all right. We'll just, you know, touch base and check in. And it keeps us a little bit accountable too, to make sure we're doing what we're doing.
Does that help?
Yes.
Because of all of those people that have phoned me and said, we got on the program, but then we fell by the wayside. And that's why I realised that was an important part.
I think the most important, it's very daunting as a customer. I mean, the program itself is a little bit intricate. Like, it's, you know, there's, without Carolyn coming in and sort of saying to me, okay, because I would have tried to have used it the way that I sort of knew, but she knew so much more. Like, you know, I would be like, I've played with this for like 2 hours, I can't, 3 hours, I can't get it to work. And she'd just come in and go, okay, well, look, let's push this payment back because you don't need to pay it then. Ring this, ring your St. George for your loan and tell them you're struggling at the moment, you need to put those payments on hold. Do this. Without that, I honestly, I wouldn't have even known it was an option. Like, I wouldn't have even thought to do that. I just would have fell behind on my payments. I would have, all of that stuff. But touching base all the time really does help. And especially for the first little while, it really, really, yeah.
There's a microphone over there that I kind of thought would be good.
Just on that, Carolyn giving you advice. I guess it's more for David, about Carolyn giving advice about, oh, you should do this, you should do that. Is that bordering on the financial advice?
We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
All right. I know Carolyn knows how to walk that time.
Oh, sorry, she made a suggestion.
It's all about the wording. Okay.
It's all about the wording.
Okay.
Suggested that you might bring up an question.
Yeah, which was super helpful because, I mean, you can only use what money you have. If you don't have the money, you can't pay stuff. You can't get in a better situation. So for those tiny little suggestions and advice that she gave me was invaluable because it's not something I would have thought about myself. And had we not done that, I think we'd still be in a black hole.
Right. So let's find out now what life's like now. So you were in the hole.
We were in the hole.
Had a meltdown. Carolyn said, look, I'll be your mother and look after you because that's what she does. She's so good at that. And she came around and said, let's change everything.
Yep. So,
how long ago was that? A couple of years?
Oh, yeah.
Two years.
So it was about 2 years ago.
You want to share with us the hole that you were in? Like, how deep was the hole? Or you want to?
You mean money wise?
Yeah.
Oh, how deep was our hole? It was pretty deep.
10,000? 20,000?
Oh, let's keep going up. 40? Oh, try it, double that. We're probably about 80 or 90,000 in the
hole. What, credit cards?
Credit cards, loans, car loans, just bad debt we bought over from New Zealand. Because like I said, in New Zealand we borrowed to live. And that's what we did. So we're probably $80,000 or $90,000.
Okay. So that was a couple of years ago.
Oh, now we're like $400,000+ in debt, but that is because we actually managed to buy our own home.
Yeah.
And we actually have money sitting in our bank account.
I'm getting goosebumps.
That's just sitting there. It's, you know what, it's, and David hasn't actually told me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's really important what you do. Like, your service, like Carolyn's service to me is something I couldn't have done on my own. And I think it was worth its weight in gold. Like, for somebody who I would have probably lived the rest of our lives in debt, stressed, probably, to be honest, divorced, because it was that bad. So it's really invaluable what you do for your clients, and not every client probably is going to have the same feeling. Like, you know, some people say they want to get out of debt and they, you know, try abuse, but really they're still going to keep spending, and you can't do anything about that. But for the people like me who really want help, it's pretty invaluable.
So you got rid of all that bad debt.
Not quite all of it, but we're working there. We're
okay,
almost
but,
there.
But to a point where the bank looked at you and said, yeah, you're okay for a loan, a home loan. That is awesome.
It is awesome. It's a lot of work. Like, you know, your clients have to be ready to work. And Carolyn said to us, quite frankly, this will not be easy. You are going to have to go without. You are going to have to, you know, you're going to have to scrape by. However, you reap the rewards in the end, and that's it. Like, in the end, look what we've got. Like, you know, we've And I think it's good to have a goal, like a shorter term goal as well. Like, the goal is to pay off our house and everything, but if you can't enjoy it along the way, I mean, yeah, it's going to be hard work, whatever, but if you can't enjoy it along the way, you drown again, because you just want to have some fun. You just want to be able to, you know, you feel like you're working for nothing. And that's what my husband always used to say. I feel like I'm working for nothing. Why should I even go to work? And it's like, well, you did spend all the money that we got to put ourselves in debt. But it's that thing, you need a bit of something to look forward to.
And I think Carol and Bonnie even give you strategies on how to have fun with them without spending money.
She's actually got a few things already on her Facebook page that you can go and tap into. So
you're a very happy spending payment customer, and I would say a success story. How do you feel about longer term future financial and your family?
I mean, nothing's worse than what we came from, but I feel excited about it. Like, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, I feel like we're already in the light, but it's, you know, anything's sort of possible, I suppose.
The light's getting even brighter.
Yeah, exactly. So we're excited about it, and I mean, it's just nice not to feel like you're in a big black hole.
Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Later.
I accept all forms of sweets and chocolates.
Well, actually, I think Kathy's got something for you, and it might have a little tiny bit of sweets and chocolates.
Hi.
How are you?
Sit down.
All right, I've invited along a couple of my customers. This is Mark and Julie. And Mark and Julie, you kind of got the idea from how daunting and scary and whatever after witnessing Crystal.
She's a tough act to follow, I reckon.
Good entertainment. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody didn't think that Crystal was just a, you know, flash in the pan, one lucky customer sort of thing. So we need to prove that it's worked. So you kind of get the idea. Do you want to share with us where you've come from, what things were like in the past?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, we've got three kids.
Yeah.
We've had three houses. We were very successful with the first two. Then our first house, we were first married at Byway, just down the road. $80,000 it cost us, house and land package. So the green days.
And it went up.
Yeah, it went up and up and up. And we bought another house at Chancellor Park when it was just starting to take off. And lived there for a while, and then I started to work from home more as part of my job, and so we needed an office, and so we thought we'll upgrade, and so Palmwoods was an area really booming, it's such a great hinterland, so we thought we'd build a house there. We spent about $500,000 on a house there.
That's a big difference from $80,000.
Yeah, and thought we'd do really well, and then the GFC hit. And we had three kids at private school, and we got to a position where some of our bills were getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and then a lot of unexpected bills came in, like big car problems, major electricity bills, which just, when you know, everyone knows how they've sort of blown out, and we probably had one of the first $100 quarterly bills on the Sunshine Coast.
$1,500.
Yeah, I think that was...
Did you get someone to come in and check where it was the neighbours?
Yeah, I think we were powering the entire suburb. but yeah, so we had just different things that were happening there. And so, we, you know, a lot of our bigger bills started on credit cards. And we got to a position where we were in some pretty serious financial problems. We were living way beyond our means. So I had a really good job, still have a really good job, paid well. But we got to the position where we thought, well, we're getting further and further into debt. And so we made the decision to sell our house and pay off our debts.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah, so that was a pretty big decision. You know. And then we'd done our own sort of budgeting program. Our church had a really good budgeting program, which we started doing, and that helped us a little bit, but it didn't do enough to really highlight, and I think this is the key with this program, is actually highlighting what you need right now. And that's the difference. It's actually looking at the sort of expenses you're likely to have, the sort of expenses that you need to sort of be sort of factoring in and going, okay, this is how much money I need in my account right now. And so that's how much money we have.
But it's sort of falling on Julie for that weekly check-in.
Yeah, and so Julie's been doing all of that.
And you weren't going to speak, you changed your mind.
Because I'd like to just share how it has just completely changed our thinking, or particularly mine, from just being scared all the time that we don't have enough money to cover everything. But when you set the program up for us, I could see that in a year's time, we will actually have enough deposit to get back into the housing market, which was really exciting.
We've actually set a date, haven't we?
We have.
And you want to share the date?
It's this time next year, so the 6th date is today. We will have enough to get back in, and if we stick to the program. So over the Christmas period, you spoke to me after that, and I was pretty freaked out because it was hard to stick to it because of our the way we do spend money. We buy too much for our kids, and so over that period, we were spending a little bit too much, and we had unexpected expenses, and I was quite discouraged. I think we spent an hour on the phone, and David just tweaked a few things, helped me to tweak a few things in the budget, and it was amazing how it just rectified itself, and now we are back on track, and otherwise I probably would have given up, had I not spoken to
you. And I knew that you were at that point.
And I didn't even want to think about buying a house, or I
sensed that, and so I thought, I need to get onto this and make sure I...
And we're only in early days, aren't we? We've only been in the program a couple of months.
Yeah.
But it's changed our lives, and I want to get... I'm excited for this prospect of being able to help other people.
Who is he rushing about becoming this
thing? I want to be able to help other people. Yeah, I know we need to prove it first. But yeah, we're pretty excited.
All right, so I think you probably answered my next question, which is tell me about what it's like now, but... So you sold your house to pay off credit card.
Yeah.
You went to church, they had a
cabin,
which I've been and had a look at, and it certainly would help people who have never done a budget at all.
Yeah.
But it's missing the key ingredient, which is the checkpoints along the way.
I think, you know, what Crystal said about keeping people accountable, and that's where, I mean, your role is really important in terms of that follow-up, and just, and it's you know, that encouragement, because you know, lots and lots of people. I mean, I would say 90% of the Australian population has a problem managing money. The 10% who do really well are the rich and famous, and the rest of us, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, I found the same scenario where the more money you made, the more money you spend, and you go, well, hold on, I'm not really achieving what I'm meant to be achieving. And we haven't blown money. We've never bought a brand new car. We've never blown money on stupid things. But it's just the day-to-day expense of life, raising kids, school, all that sort of stuff that you don't properly account for, and then you don't have that freedom.
So were you guys surprised when you saw the list that you had to go through, like birthday? Like Crystal said, birthdays, and I'm thinking, well. You know, your kids had a birthday.
No, but we don't like to see that.
And guys, how often...
The reality of what we do.
How often have you suggested, guys, with your wife for the wedding anniversary, how does fish and chips on the beach sound? Would that be romantic? Oh, and it's like, yeah, come on, you knew there was a wedding anniversary this time last year, and didn't you plan? Little things like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it... Yes, Liz?
I was just going to say, really, the whole part about it. Program is it's not really about money, is it? It's about all the other things. You know, it's the way you're thinking. It's your thing about thinking.
And it's really not about money. The poverty mentality which we were living in, this actually moves us to we can do this.
Yeah.
And we can. We trust ourselves. We've got this money set aside, so we don't have to feel the pride. And
see, I I'm going to guess that your primary love language is giving a gift.
Yes.
I think Julie's a really warm, fuzzy, loving, and kind of sharing person who just wants to bestow gifts. And I, you know, like, it's not our job to take that away from people. It's our job to actually give them as much of it as they can have without suffering up. And so we, you know, we never tell you what you can and can't have. But when you can see the crystal ball telling you this is what the next year of beyond looks like, you kind of go, oh, okay, this is how we prioritise it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the, we had, even when we started the program, we had two goals. We had one was a holiday,
yeah.
And one was, you know, because our younger son's never been, you know, overseas or anything like that. We thought, oh, that'd be really cool to do. But that's kind of gone to the wayside a bit now. We're going, okay, now our focus right now is getting enough for the deposit, get back in the housing market. You know what housing prices are doing on the coast. We're going to be stupid if we're not in that sort of market, you know.
I was 2001 was my first overseas trip when I was 1957. Yeah. Unless you call a boat trip to Keppel Island overseas.
I've been overseas quite a few times, so I'm not exactly, you know.
But we were able to say, Sam.
Yeah.
Once we get into our house,
yeah, we will have disposable income.
So this year will be tight. Yeah.
That's the light at the end of the tunnel.
And I didn't tell you after I spoke to you, I upped my Christmas. I went back to the plan and upped my Christmas money for next year so that I could still spend
a little bit more
on family, but it still worked.
Cool. So the same question that I asked Crystal.
It's canceled Easter.
So how do you guys feel about your prospects for...
nothing, we did nothing, that was all.
Back in 2012, I enrolled to do my uni degree, and through a lot of hard work, I graduated as an accountant in 2014.
So, can I ask you why you chose accounting? Was it because you were broke?
Well, actually, the funny thing is, my passion was law. I did 6 months of my law degree, found out a little one over there was on her way, and went, I need something that's a little bit more family-friendly. Accounting was my second choice, so that was where I went. So, I don't regret it now, but at the time, you know, I sort of went, I'm going to have to give up, you know, something else for these children. And it's just how it goes. You know, you give up everything. So then we went from one income to two pretty good incomes, and we spent it quicker than it came in. You know, we brought...
Because it was like you had nothing for so long.
It was like winning the lotto, honestly, yeah. It really was. You know, I always wanted a V8, and now there's a V8 in the car park that in hindsight I really didn't need, but I wanted it. My husband wanted a four-wheel drive. You know, we wanted holidays. We spent it quicker than it was coming in. And we ended up in a hole probably bigger than Christmas. So I'm not talking probably around 100. With nothing to show for it.
And what was that, credit card?
That was credit card debts, that was car loans, you know, we back borrowed to pay out old cars that we didn't want anymore, so then we have cars that are financed for $15,000 more than what they're worth. We had no assets to our name at all. And then the fight started, and I suppose it all sort of came to a head, one, because I ended up quite sick and I had to have surgery, and I ended up on leave without pay, so did my husband.
Yeah.
Mind you, I'm only talking about 8 weeks, but when you live payweek to payweek, 8 weeks is a long time. And then he finally got the job that he wanted, but then he's away for nearly 4 months training on half of what he was earning. So that was at the start of last year. That was probably when it all came crashing down in one very ugly heap. And I suppose if they work for everybody else, then the fights start, and then you think, do I just walk away from all this and start all over again? Because this is what
happened. So you got to a very low place.
We did get to a very low place, yep.
Wasn't boxing gloves close to it?
It was close to it. There were lots of slamming doors, and you know, and that's not good.
It's pretty interesting, isn't it? Because you did it together, got in the hole together,
yep.
But it actually started pushing you apart.
Well, he's meant, and I think, you know, as much as he tried not to blame me for getting sick, that's when it started, and then I was blaming him, because not only was he on significantly less income for something that he wanted to do, he was also away from me. He was away from me 4 months, so I was at home with three kids, fielding phone calls left, like, right, so and he was away from it all, and that was hard. That was really hard, and then the resentments.
Alright, so this low point happened, and then, so that was the motivation.
And I suppose the turning point for us was, I know Crystal because our sons play rugby. So it was the night before, and also because our children go to the same school where Crystal used to work and Carolyn works. So the night before our son's first game, this all came to a head. And I pretty much said to my husband, that's it, I need you gone. And he said, well, I'm going to come and watch his first game of football, and then I'll pack my bags and I'll leave. So we were not nice, fun people to be around that first game. You're trying to pretend like everything's happy, and, you know, somebody walks away, and I'm sort of giving him the death stare out of the corner of my eye. So Crystal said, what's wrong? And after...
So she picked up on it.
She did. And after, you know, holding it in, and I think my biggest thing was too, as an accountant, I can tell everybody else what they need to do. Whether you're an individual client, whether you're a small or medium entity, it doesn't matter. I can tell you the best, what you should do with your money to the best tax outcome. When it comes to me and my money, that's a totally different ballgame. You know, and we weren't good at it. And so Crystal asked what was wrong. I told her, and she pulled out her phone, pulled out the spending planner, and said, this is what we do, this is who you need to call. And that was what we did.
So your husband didn't leave?
Well, not yet.
No, because I'm thinking, he's got his bags packed at the door when you get home.
Well, honestly, he did. He had his bags packed sitting there, and he was ready to go. And then I, on the way
and start telling you how to do that.
Pretty much how to deal with my own money. Yep. Exactly. And I think for me, you know, it took a long time to admit that. Like, obviously in my line of work, I've got access to so many different, Excel does apparently everything. But these budgets are all about, it's all well and good to do a cash flow forecast when you've got your cash flow under control. Otherwise, doing a budget in Excel, it's useless. It's all well and good to see what you should have, but if you don't have the mentality of how to get there, it's useless. It does nothing. It's not helping.
And it's not just the mentality of how to get there, but it's also the numbers trade.
Exactly. Exactly. No, it's all well and good to see money coming into your bank account, but until you have the tools to understand where to put it and when, it's meaningless. You can be on all the money in the world, but if you don't know how to spend it and have a plan properly, you're still going to end up in the red.
So Carolyn comes in and it just all went away.
Not really, no. Carolyn came in, and as much as I love her, she made me cry all the time. She would leave and I would see how much trouble we were in and I'd be back at square one. You know, and I think the first thing is you've got to have the mentality of this isn't easy, it's not a quick fix, and it's still down to you. It's all well and good to have the software, but if you don't take responsibility for what you're doing, that software's not going to work. It just doesn't. You have to be able to take responsibility for what you're spending.
So what made you do that then? Because what was it about Carolyn or about what the software was showing you? Or
because it doesn't, while it gives you know, what you can have in 12 months, it also tells you how to get there. So it's not a, this is your money coming in and this is what you're going to have at the end of the year. It is, this is what's coming in, this is how we need to apportion each and every single piece. And this is what you need to put away every week, because it's all well and good to not think about a bill that's due in a month, but if you don't think about that for the month, then you've got nothing to pay it with. So it's understanding that it's not just what's due this week, it's what's coming up as well.
Alright, so there was still pain.
There was lots of pain. There was lots of tears, there was lots of wine. Trying to get her to drink, she wouldn't drink with me, so I sat there and drowned, you know.
She didn't convince you to give up the wine.
No, not yet. Well, I'm happy to give up nearly everything. The wine was not on the list of things. And that's for everybody's sake.
That's the fun.
Yeah. It really is. So, you know, it took us a long time to actually put everything in there, because there's all these $20, $30, $40 payments that you just don't think of. But then when you add them all up, there's, you know, an extra $300-$400 a month that you didn't realise you were spending, because it's just such small amounts. So it's not always those big amounts, it's the small things as well.
That's why I charge everybody $10 a month for you.
Exactly, exactly. That's okay, I get $2.50 a week, it's fine. So, you know,
Would that have been about 2 years ago?
No, less than 12 months. Less than 12 months. It was March last year that things really came to a head, so I think maybe in the March, start of April.
Yeah,
So over 100,000 in debt. You still got the VA.
I'm not selling the VA. I mean, my mentality is can't, because I won't get paid out for it. But really, my heart says no. We're not selling the VA. We'll go without
it. Where are you up to now? And what?
Look, our story is a little bit different to everybody else's. Whilst having our own home is definitely something that we aspire to, it's not short term. It's probably 5 or 6 years away. Our biggest things are just probably having a life with the kids, doing things with the kids. We're going on a holiday at the end of the year as well. We're doing a cruise that Carol doesn't know yet. We have to put that in the planner. But I suppose our story's a bit different in that, as I said, 2 weeks ago I found out the company that I was working for is closing. So that is going to leave me high and dry without a job, right back into square one again.
Yep.
And the opportunity came along for me to buy out my client list. So the first thing I did was I had my spending planner open on my screen. I had my client list and my client income from the last 12 months open on the other screen, just to make sure that it was going to cover what we needed. Now, we did have savings. We had managed to move things around syndrome wasn't really suitable because I was stressed out about not having an income. So it's made a huge difference for us because that's something that I never really aspired to do. But now the opportunity is there. It's exciting. You know, it's taking responsibility for our own financial freedom, and that's a massive thing for us. So fingers crossed.
So holiday next year, holiday maybe 4 or 5 years down the track, maybe a house.
Yeah. Look, and I've still got a massive hex debt hanging over my head anyway.
Yeah.
So you know, we just.
Oh, hex debt. I thought you said headset.
No. Hex debt. The government really liked it. So, you know, that is our long-term goal. But for the moment, it's knowing that we have plans in place to at least achieve, one, our short-term goals, and then our long-term goals. And that's a big thing for us, having a direction.
Yep. Awesome. Okay. A question up here. Do you mind taking a question?
No, it's fine.
How do you think your new knowledge and understanding of spending, planning, and money is going to affect your kids?
Only positively, because now they understand that just because you want something doesn't mean that mum's going to go out and buy it. So, you know, it's for them, it means that, okay, well, if I want this, mum said I can't do this and this. So for them, it's putting the responsibility back on them as well for, you know, prioritising what it is that they want. You know, we could send them back to a public school and pay nothing, but we've chosen to put them in a private school. And, well, our little one starts prep this year, but for the older two, you know, it has meant such a turnaround for them academically. And I can only hope that they realise, you know, what we've sort of had to go without to give them something like that. So, you know, it affects them in a good way, but it also, you know, obviously nobody likes to fight in front of their children as much as we were trying not to. Sometimes it was still over. And, you know, and they also pick up on the fact that mum and dad aren't talking. So that also has a really positive impact on them. Because that was all we could fight about was money. We don't fight about anything else really apart from money. So, you know, it's been a learning curve for them too, but hopefully it will set them up for their lives as well.
Question?
I don't have a question, I'm just going to make a statement. I think this person is an inspiring role model.
Thank you.
Give a round of applause.
Yep. I asked everybody else what they had, how they felt about their planning for the future. How do you do that?
Look, it's exciting for us from always in life. You know, it's exciting on a personal level, and it's now exciting for me on a, you know, on a work level as well. And I use the two now. They work side by side. You know, for me to achieve my personal goals, I have to be able to achieve this and this sort of turnover in the company. So the spending planner and my work goals work side by side now. And
I became a school teacher because I hated the thought of having my own business.
Yeah.
And for the last 15 years or whatever, I've had my own business. And it's scary at times.
Yeah, it is. And especially when you have nothing really to contribute to the start of it. You know, when people start a business with 100 grand, they know they've got something behind them. I started with $1,500.
That's the best way to start a business.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm really excited for Carolyn because all of those clients of yours, that he's been playing.
Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've said to people that this is who they need to contact, so.
Do you mind if
you... No, okay.
Yeah. One thing that I've been thinking about is the whole small business market. Going in and targeting the business first, I'm not sure that's probably the best strategy.
No, it's not. Because if you have a director in a company who is unable to control their personal finances, they cannot control the finances of the company. And that is why a lot of small and medium businesses fail. It's not because there's no work, and it's not because, you know, they didn't put enough effort in. It's simply because they could not manage the money okay. They go hand in hand.
That was gold. Do you guys understand why that was going?
Yeah.
Diane?
On the same line, I've had been talking to a lot of accountants about networking, and that's one of the things they say is that their beef is being, these small business people who are using their business account, as a personal account is the one, and paying for bookkeeping for it and all that sort of stuff. And I actually have a client who's an accountant who she said she's been doing it for forever, a great account, but she doesn't know how much she needs personally to be taken out of the business to be on track.
And that's a big thing, you know, the amount of times that we do, you know, a small company's tax return and the owners have not, like the director has not only drawn themselves a nice wage, but they've taken $30,000-$40,000 out of director's fees. When they realise that, then converted to a wage as well, and they've got to pay tax on that. They, you know, usually they blame me because, you know, it's the accountant's fault. But for somebody to have their own business, I firmly believe they need to have this sort of strategy in place to be able to understand how to successfully plan what needs to be spent. Because the company expenses are a lot more, you know, usually a lot higher than individual.
What I've found is that if you establish what the family needs to live their lifestyle they want, that then identifies what the business has to do to be able to meet the lifestyle needs of the family.
Personal plan first.
Yep. And that's exactly how it works in our house now.
Yeah, it's always the best to deal with the personal plan and then come to the business later on.
Exactly.
Do you actually use the spending planning program to do some business planning in advance?
Not at the moment. For the simple fact that, as I said, this has all happened within the last 3 or 4 weeks. I only just got my fully practiced ticket 3 yesterday, so, you know, as of Monday I can actually start to invoice. But, you know, it will be, they will be integrated side by side, definitely.
All right. So you're getting 2 rounds of applause. So, how does that work on your belief level?
Excellent.
Cool. So we're going to go to morning tea very shortly. And I'm just going to have to ask Kathy about morning tea.
Oh, you have 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know that. But morning tea is outside.
It's there, it's ready.
Yep, all right. And we've allocated a whole half an hour. So it gives you an opportunity to mingle and go and have a comfort stop and whatever you need to do like that. So there were lots of things that came out in what was just sort of passed on there. And there were, you know, like I started by saying, it doesn't matter how much you earn, and you don't have to believe me now because you've just heard 3 other people say it and you guys already know it. So that's number one that you need to, because if you go and sit down across the coffee shop with someone and you say to them, you know, it's not how much you earn. You probably notice that every time you get a pay rise, your cost of living goes up and nothing changes. Everything that you can say to somebody that makes them recognise that you know them, the more comfortable they will feel about letting you into their life and doing business with them. So everything that these guys just said, if you didn't already know it yourself, if you know, you're going to sit down with someone and say, I understand you, I know you, I can even describe you. Because even though you may not have realised it, everybody's in the same boat. Everybody's got exactly the same stuff going on. It's just a different flavour. And so if you say to somebody, you know, I know you probably have never had the pay rise that changed your life. Nobody has. You know, you're probably struggling with the mortgage. I understand. Because, you know, everything these guys said, you know it. You can, everything you can say to them that makes them feel like, how does he know that about me? How does he know that about me? How does she know it? That, well, because everybody's got the same stuff going on. So if you hadn't thought of that, you know, when you're chatting with people, it's almost the same thing over and over again, because you can say, well, you know, most people have got credit card debt. Most people are struggling to put their kids through school. Most people, you know, I've even had this myself. And while you're doing that, you're connecting with them, you're making them feel comfortable, you're making them feel like, well, this person understands me. And then that builds the rapport and the relationship. So the more that you can show that you know what their life's like without them even telling you, the more they're going to think, wow, this person's really smart. But you don't have to be very smart to know, because everybody's the same. Alrighty. Well, we've got until 10:15. It's now 10:15. 10:42. I'm going to open the doors for you to come back in. It's a hot day, apparently. It's going to be really hot, so if it gets a bit hot for you out there, you can always move into the big foyer out here where it's air-conditioned and chat and carry on. And we'll see you back here in half an hour.